Congresswoman Fischbach, how are you?
I am doing well. So, I will say it is very exciting to be out here right now because we are doing things that we have not been able to do for years, making sure that we are answering to the American people and getting things done. So I am so excited. And you said he was a new sheriff in town, and you can tell.
Yeah, that cabinet meeting yesterday, I was just talking about that. I mean, if you go around that table, the resumes there, the business acumen, the common sense, which is refreshing compared to the previous administration, pretty phenomenal. I mean, you just all around got it. Speaker Johnson's doing great. John Thune's doing great. The president's cabinet's amazing. He and his executive team, I mean, it's just good to be us right now, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we're very excited. We moved past the budget resolution, and that's the first step in this process to a big, beautiful, or one big, beautiful reconciliation bill. And so we are getting things done, and I'm excited about moving down the road, you know, getting things done. And you were mentioning earlier about, you know, about truth. And it is amazing to listen to those folks on the Democrats on the House floor because they don't tell the truth. They don't read the bills before they write their talking points. So they just make things up, you know, and, you know, like they were talking about Medicaid in the budget resolution. They didn't read it because the word Medicaid does not appear in the budget resolution, but kept talking about how all of us were going to cut it. And they're just making things up at this point because they are desperate because we are doing what we need to do to save America.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about this whole
Desperate's a good word.
Let's talk about this little Medicaid thing for a minute because that's why the Senate is saying, hey, good job, House, but we're going to still go our own track here because they're saying that the Medicaid cuts in the House version are a little too, I don't know, vast, big, what they don't like them. I don't know exactly what they don't like about them. Is that about sort of Senate calendar politics that vote would put some of the Republicans over there in danger? They can afford to lose over there. What's the difference between your Medicaid package that's passed out and theirs?
Well, here's the difference. I shouldn't even say the difference. Medicaid is not talked about in these budget resolutions. There are, you know, there's different committees get goals to reduce and things like that. But the president made it clear the other day, was it yesterday or the day before, he said that it won't be touched. It won't be touched. There are no cuts in this bill, in this budget resolution. So I'm not sure exactly what the Senate is trying to talk about or trying to do over there. But it's going to be up to the committee process. Once we get a budget resolution that's agreed, both House and Senate, then it's up to the committees to take a look at how they want to do things.
All right, so explain.
Yeah, that made it clear.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what you're saying is the bedwetting over in the Senate is about the total dollars, and because this is a framework on how much budget there, they're just assuming the only way we can make this work is if we trim Medicaid. But the president's saying, no, you're going to have to figure this out and leave Medicaid where it's at. That's what he's saying then, right?
Yeah, you're going to have to do a little harder, you know, a little more work. And figure it out. And, you know, but it, like I said, the president said, no, you mentioned it. And that's, but they're falling into those Democrat talking points. That's what they're all doing because, you know, they're throwing up their arms and they're saying, oh my goodness. But no, it's not in this bill. It's not in the budget resolution. And the committee process will have to work that out.
I got it. Okay. So the other angle here, and why the president has been leaning towards Speaker Johnson if he could get it done. And let's just quickly talk about how you got it done. That was masterclass. That was unbelievable because you had four or five, we call them knuckleheads, sorry, but, you know, Democrats rammed through their agenda by Democrats sticking together. Republicans have to do the same thing with that slim majority or you're not going to get anything done. And you had Burchett of Tennessee and Davidson and a few others clutching their pearls. And one by one, other than Tom Massey, they came around because Trump got on the phone with him, right?
That's right. That's right. And it's sad that that's what it takes. You know, we can't. I understand they want to see more cuts or whatever their issue was. I get it. But in the end, we are doing huge amounts. And you know what? If we can get through these things, we got another chance to cut. We got another chance to fix, you know, fix government. We just need to do these things so that we can continue the fight. You know, we need to make sure that we get everything lined up.
Now, the other reason I think that the president favors what he calls one big, beautiful bill in the House version is because you know, with that slim of a majority over there, somebody gets the flu and you're in big trouble. And the Senate version would require the House to do this twice, right? So if you do it, you do all the heavy lifting in one bill rather than in two, which the Senate, having a little more majority, obviously has the luxury to do, but it could threaten the back half of the Trump agenda if you don't do it in one big, big beautiful bill. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the big concerns is that it would threaten the, you know, extending those 2017 tax cuts, because that was the way I think they're separating it out. And we want to make sure that we get those 2017 tax cuts in there. You know, you were talking, I was listening a little bit, and you were talking about how the Democrats are claiming the economy is, you know, staggering or whatever. But if they want to see an economy go bad, they let these, they then watch those Trump tax cuts expire. Because that affects, you know, it doesn't affect millionaires and billionaires. 75,000 families in the 7th district would see their household child tax credit cut in half.
Wow.
That's not millionaires and billionaires. That's those folks with little kids. That's those folks with kids. 50, and I love to use these statistics because the Democrats talk about millionaires and billionaires. This isn't. This is 56,000 small businesses in Minnesota's 7th district. So
why
right there at home.
And by the way, all of that is set to expire later this year. Now, here's the difference where I think I like the Senate version better. They say, let's make the Trump tax cuts permanent. You're not doing that in the House version. Am I right?
You know what? We have not come up with our final bill. So one of the things that I will say is there's a huge tax, you know, there's a huge pay for on that. There's I want to say $4.5 billion, if I'm remembering correctly. But there's a really big pay for on that. It's a cost. And so
isn't that dumb, though? I mean, because we saw what happened with the first Trump tax cuts. They said, oh, it's going to cost $2 trillion to do this. You're going to blow a hole in the deficit. And actually, you got $2 trillion plus out of it. So why do we got to play this pay for game?
Well, and we do and we don't. You know, there are some provisions where we can go back. I mean, right now we're looking at it, but there are some provisions where the chairs can go back and change CBO scores if they agree.
Okay.
So there may be things that we can do on that. But I think the biggest message is, you know, the Democrats love to say that it's million and billionaires, and it's not. These are everyday people in my district, all around the state of Minnesota, all around the country, that will see this huge tax increase. And so we are doing everything we can to make sure that we preserve as much of that as we possibly can.
Yeah, good on you. Do you believe there's still a shot the House could do permanent tax, put the Trump tax cuts permanent? Sorry?
You know, it is. It's possible. It's possible. And see, and once, you know, we've passed our budget resolution and then the Senate passes theirs, and then we do have to come together with one budget resolution. So, you know, in that negotiation, in that discussion, there may be, you know, we may do that. The other thing is you also have, you know, President Trump has a couple of things he'd like to add, too. You know, he wants to look at the tax on tips, and that's one of his biggies, and some things like that. So we may end up, you know, if he sees those as his priority, then we may need to, you know, cushion a little bit there. But we are looking for other pay-fors, too.
Say back to the billionaire thing. Why don't they ever talk about all their billionaire buddies?
No kidding.
You know, they're basically focused on two billionaires, the president and the guy that's routing the system. But why don't we talk about all their billionaire buddies? No, that doesn't seem to matter, Michelle.
Absolutely. All of those guys that are, you know, financing all of their stupid campaigns. You know, all of the garbage,
protests,
you know, financing.
All of it, yeah.
I got protesters at, you know, at my offices now in the district. And I'm sure that someone's financing that garbage.
Of course they are. You know? Of course they are. Absolutely. Yeah. It's all AstroTurf ridiculous. And, you know, there's eight of them with dumb signs and pink hats and, you know, all kinds of gross stuff. Anyway,
and when the paper reports on it, I want them to ask them where they're from.
Good idea.
Money, they're not from the 7th district.
That'd actually be journalism.
But the paper won't do that.
Keep fighting. Yeah. Keep fighting, Congressman.